Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, welcome back to YAG, and it's good to resume meeting after 2 weeks of hiatus. So this afternoon, I'm excited to share a new song, and that's because I've been reflecting on the first half of 2025 and also the lessons learned from Ecclesiastes. So for some of you who may not know, at the work front, you know, since 2022, I've been working as a research fellow at EDDC, which is Experimental Drug Development Centre. So this is Singapore's national platform for drug discovery and development. So what we do is to try and find novel drugs or novel modalities for targeting cancer and infectious disease. So these are two examples of the first made in Singapore drugs that have been used in clinical trials and have been useful. So last November at work, I was asked by my CEO to head the Chem Bio department, chemical biology, because the previous head was asked to leave due to professional misconduct. So because the position needed to be filled and I was the only one in the organisation with expertise in Chem Bio, so I was presented with the opportunity to fill this gap. So to put things into perspective, a research fellow is grade 5, you know, like your rank, right? And then a head, HOD, is actually a grade 10. So like a bit daunting, right, when you think about it. But I agreed, because you cannot say no to the CEO, right? And so I took on the challenge in faith. So when I took over, there was a lot of things that needed to be done. You have to set the house in order. So first, you have to redefine your research purpose, right? With new leadership, then there's a need to recraft everything. The physical lab, which was also in a mess, needed to be organized and cleaned up. Processes also need to be put in place, and people also need to be managed, and that's the hardest. Why? So within the first 3 months that I took over, half the team left, right? So there were 6 people in total. So the first person was a scholar, and he left because he wanted to second to someone else, but I don't think he's coming back from what it looks. So staff number 2 resigned because of family issues. He had to go back to China to look after his parents. Staff 3 left for New York with the husband as her contract has ended. And then what about the other 3, right? So staff number 4, she's a friend of mine for 10 years. So she has been underperforming because she has a tang ping attitude. Like lie flat, right? Translated. Yeah. So after being informed by the management that I have to manage her out if she doesn't improve, so I had to tell her that your contract will only be renewed for 1 year, not the usual 3 years. After that conversation, we were no longer friends. She deleted me from Instagram, Facebook, and stopped lunching with me. So we became very professional. But I have to see her every day at work, right? So that was a bit difficult. Then staff number 5 recently was caught forging scientific data. Not once, but twice. So I caught him. And eventually he confessed. And now the issue has been raised up to our internal HR, not yet to the A-star HR. So it became a very serious and sensitive matter. Then, who do I have left? Nobody, right? Only one person. So hiring has been very slow because most candidates, after I looked through 100 CVs, 80 to 100 CVs, none of them have an interdisciplinary background because Chem Bio is a very new field, right? Then because it's a severely short staff department, I had to be in the lab running a lot of experiments myself to meet the deadline because nobody's doing work, right? And then on top of that, all these things that's happening, because now you are head, so you have to go for more meetings and more of the administrative things to run the department. So, you know, sometimes I find myself asking, what is happening, right? Drug discovery, as you see, just now, is supposed to be meaningful. But, you know, and all I want to do is just do good science, right, at the end of the day. And then my lament started to echo Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 to 3. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? And then on the home front, you know, during Easter worship, I'm sure most of you have heard Paul and Sophie share about the health challenges that they experienced last December. So it was during this difficult period, I stepped up and supported my sister by being the main caregiver for Esther. So taking care of Esther alone was challenging. Last time it was 3v1, now it's 1v1 at home, right? And if you know her, it's physically very demanding because she just has more energy than you, many times. And mentally for us, it was also a period of anxiety, uncertainty, and feeling very helpless. Because we waited at home for survey to update us from the hospital each day. And even if there were updates, like, we didn't know what was happening. So spiritually, I find myself struggling to reconcile the brevity and the frailty of life, and also the vanity and the futility of work. And yet, at the same time, as Christians, we're supposed to have purpose and hope. So someone once said, you can have 1,000 problems in life until you have a health problem, and that's when you only have one problem. So as I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning life, as it says in Ecclesiastes 1:13-14, I found my thoughts going nowhere, but agreeing with Solomon in chapter 2, verse 17-23. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done was distressing to me. Verse 18, then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. So who knows the next head that come, right? If he messes it up, then it's like undoing what I did. And then verse 20, therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. And verse 23 is very true. For all his days are sorrowful, his work burdensome. Even in the night, it's very hard to sleep because I keep waking up at 3 a.m., right, thinking about the things that needed to be done. This also is vanity. So at this year's family camp, that was when I set my heart to seek God and search his word instead of communing with my own heart and wisdom. So Isaiah 43 brought about a fresh and enlightening perspective of what I was going through. So along with his word, God also gave a song. And that's the song that we'll be singing today, Christ Our Wisdom. So the lyrics are actually very meaningful if you read through and dwell on it. I can identify with the songwriter as he writes candidly about the unknowns and the uncertainties that we will face in life in each stanza. But then at the end of each stanza, it also ends with a very powerful assurance from Isaiah 43. In the first stanza, this is my favorite stanza, right? It ends with, you are God and we are not. And that's from Isaiah 43, verse 3. And in the second stanza, you are God and we are loved, verse 4 of Isaiah 43. Third stanza, you are God and we are yours. And the fourth stanza, you are God forever praised. While we may not fully comprehend what life is all about, and while we may not have clarity and certainty in what's ahead, our assurance and our wisdom is knowing who journeys with us each step of the way. You know, some of you may also be going through health challenges or issues at work, conflicts in relationships, or what seems like never-ending problems in life. In the midst of what can feel like vanity and futility, may we set our hearts to seek God. And in your searching, may you find Christ, your wisdom. So we will learn this new song together, and we have two friends from the Heart of Grace who has kindly teach us the song. And we'll take the first verse through and then sing from the beginning. So I think in the last stanza, there's a key change, but it's quite intuitive. So you can try and catch. Yeah. So look at the lyrics and then, yeah, Isaiah 43, as you think through and as you sing the song.
Okay, thank you, Susu, for sharing the challenges at work and sharing this new song. May your hearts truly be that much more encouraged to look to the Lord for guidance and wisdom. Okay, well, let's just pray and then we can look into the Lord's word today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can study your words once again. We pray that you will bless us, enlighten us, maybe be that much more encouraged even as we look to seeking you. Pray that you will bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, let's look at chapter 6. Now, we finished chapter 5. We're going on to chapter 6. And we've been looking at how do we look at wealth. So this is something that we will continue to consider so that we would have maybe a deeper perspective, a greater perspective concerning some of these issues. So let's look at chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. So we recognize that the word evil not necessarily is something that is bad. It's not necessarily something that is evil. It's just that it's something that is bad. It's something that maybe is a bad situation that is not uncommon. Okay, now verse 2, he goes on to say, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires. Okay, so there is what we call fiscal blessings. Riches, wealth, honor. Great. Now, then we look at verse 2, the second part. He goes on to say, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. Now, this is different from what we read in chapter 5, right? Where in verse 19, it says, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, same thing, and has given power to eat of it. See the contrast now? He may still be wealthy, but somehow God has not given him power to eat of it. In fact, a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity and it is an evil affliction. So what is it that we are really looking at? So on one hand, we can have God blessing us or the goodness of the Lord. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a while. But yet at the same time, there are times in which God would withhold that blessing. He can withhold the blessing of having the power to eat of it. In fact, someone can come along and dispossess this individual. So God can do that. He can give. He can also take away. So this is where we see the chastisement of the Lord. Where we want to be able to understand this a little bit more carefully. So when we include God, right, there is his blessings. But when we exclude him, right, God can take away that blessing. He can end up chastising us. So that's something for us to think about in all that we do. Do we include God? Do we involve God or we just take things for granted? Yes, God gives physical blessings. But if we do not include God, then he can withhold. Now, I'm going to demonstrate this for you from the Old Testament. It's somewhat like recompense. We talked about it during family camp, right? But let's take it up a little bit more, especially concerning how God can take away. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. So due to time, I'm going to just go ahead and share the things that I really want to share today. So if you have questions, then by all means, raise them up. So in Deuteronomy 28, verse 33, we read this, right? See, blessings, so chapter 28 really has to do with blessings if you obey. But then, if you disobey, curses will be brought upon. For example, a nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. Can God do that? The answer is yes. He can take away, right? He can, if you obey, God will bless. But if not, God can bring about curses such as this. A nation will come, he will plunder, and he can consume the fruit of your labor. Okay, which is exactly what Ecclesiastes is saying. Now let's turn to Judges chapter 6. So this is an example about concerning Israel. Look at Judges 6. Right, and we see Israel Right? Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the land, to the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza. Okay, so Gaza already existed during then. And leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And you see this happening, you know, in Gaza at this point in time. People are just impoverished. Now, I'm not saying that God is judging them, but I'm trying to say that's what it's like. This is what it's like during this time when God judged the people for doing evil in his sight. And he then allowed the Midianites to come to take even their produce. Okay? Now, let's turn to Haggai. So do we see this also in Haggai, in chapter 1, verse 5. We read. Okay, so after the exile, the remnant, they returned. They commenced rebuilding the temple. There came a time in which the rebuilding ceased and the people became focused on themselves. See, that's part of the problem. When things are good, you forget. So then they built houses for themselves and left God's house in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. So after a while, you actually lose the things that you have. God can dispossess the things you have. That's the danger. When we allow our self to take prominence, we forget, we take things for granted. So you see this happening consistently. Whether it was regards to the law, whether it was in time of judges, whether it was post-exilic, these were the same problems that existed. And it exists even today. When we forget God, when we don't include Him, when we go about doing our own things. Sometimes we all take the blessings that we have for granted until God takes it away. Then we have to realize that maybe we have not sought the Lord as we ought to. Okay? Now, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm just going to move along along very quickly. Now, let's look at verse 3 now. And it says, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness. See, that's the problem. Now, here you have someone who... So this is a hypothetical question. I don't think you know anybody can have 100 children, right? So it must be a hypothetical situation. Just imagine, right? Some of you are involved in a junior camp. We have about 100 children coming. And it takes so many people to look after 100 children, right? So it'd be crazy if you have a set of parents looking after 100 children. That's impossible. So this is really an exaggeration, but it reflects someone who is, you know, maybe a man looking out, wow, I can achieve things. I have so many children, I have this, I have that. This is my manliness. It is who I am, right? It's all about himself. This is his focus. And yet, there is no satisfaction, right? God can give goodness, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness. Or, indeed, he has no barrier. Right? Wow, this is a very strange situation, right? Because you have 100 children, but nobody wants to bury you. That would be so sad, right? So, of course, we have another death, and this is Angeline and Carol's mother who has passed away. And tonight we're going to have the memorial service. So this is the fourth funeral in 3 weeks, right? And it just tells you about the frailty of life, right? And I think they should be timely reminders of us. But just imagine, at the end of your life, nobody wants to bury you. That'd be so sad, right? You know, proper burial. Now, of course, we know that Angeline's mom, she's not a member of Bethany. We know Angeline, we know Carol, and of course, we know Angeline's father a little bit more, Mr. Lai, right? And his request is for a pastor to share tonight and to that for us to take care of him. We will do our part, really. We always say, look, someone, even we don't know, even if this person is not a Christian, we recognize that this person deserves a proper burial, right? But to be in a situation when you have no satisfaction in life and in death, nobody wants to bury you, that's very, very sad. And it does happen. That's the reality of life. In life, no satisfaction. In death, nobody wants to bury you. That is a very sad situation. So much so that Solomon raises up in verse 3, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. Wow. What does that mean? A stillborn child. A stillborn child is someone, look, for it comes, right? I say that a stillborn child is better than he, for he comes in vanity and departs in darkness. Its name is not covered with darkness. Though he has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man. This has, you know, and even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not all go to one place. Sometimes the thoughts of Solomon can be really very, very sorrowful and very sad. A stillborn child is still better than this man. You can live 2,000 years, 2 millennia, and not see any goodness. It's very, very exaggerated, right? But exaggeration has a point. Don't just say, oh, this is just ridiculous. It is. But exaggeration is to emphasize certain things. To emphasize life is not all that is cut out to be. Yes, we want to be able to achieve things. Yes, we want to have certain things in life and so on and so forth. But we really need to go beyond. We need to find satisfaction. We need to find satisfaction in the goodness of the Lord. Right? So that is Ecclesiastes. Now, one of the things I noticed about your sharing is that you all identify with Ecclesiastes very, very much. So, which is good, you know, you, okay, but also not so great, right? I understand that which is perfectly, you know, meant to be, right? We all have our laments, we all have our, you know, circumstances in life, sure. And that's why we are studying this book. But I'm glad that you don't remain at Ecclesiastes, right? There are some solutions there, but it doesn't go very far. So as you have recognized, we always go back to other places so that we will have a greater sense of focus. Now, today we're going to go into Psalm 65. So take time to think this through later when you go into your groups. But let's look at Psalm 65. You may be familiar with this psalm, But I thought I'll just highlight a few things, and then I'm going to come to a conclusion for us to think about. Now look at verse 11. It says, "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance." You see, there is the goodness of the Lord, and throughout the year, God's goodness is there. The question is, do you see that goodness? Even when you go through difficult times, God's goodness is there. It's invisible. The question is, are you able to see it? Are you able to pick it out and say, wow, nonetheless, God's goodness is in abundance? The problem is that we tend to be very myopic. We tend to be very myopic because we are focused on the problems we are facing. We are focused on things that we are hoping to have or to experience. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about contentment and all, because, the question of, okay, we want this, we want that, and we're not getting it. But the goodness of the Lord is there. The whole year, He crowns the whole year with His goodness. The question is, do you see it? There is fiscal blessing. So look at verse 9. It says, "You visit the earth, water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it." So, yes, we thank God for all the fiscal blessings that He provides for us. When you look at the starvation, the problems that is happening in Gaza at this point in time, even though it's a man-made issue, right? It is a problem, right? And you look at even in places like Africa, many other places are facing drought and famine and all kinds of problems. Of course, our heart goes out to them. But yet at the same time, do we really appreciate what we have? Even the physical things of life. That's one. Two, the spiritual blessings. Okay? So in verse 3, he says, "Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, you will provide atonement for them." Spiritual blessings. There is atonement. Atonement through the Lord. You know, and I think that's something that we also don't want to take for granted. And that's why we celebrate Easter, we thank God for the Lord Jesus, for what He has done for us, but we don't want to take what has been provided for us, atonement. Right? Another spiritual blessing in verse 4. "Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house." You see the difference between David and Solomon? We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By coming here to worship the Lord, to be able to enter into His presence, all of us has been chosen to come, to approach Him, to dwell in His courts, to be satisfied with His goodness. Are you satisfied? The problem is that we are not satisfied because we are all looking for things, physical things, and sometimes we are not getting it. And sometimes we are not looking with spiritual eyes. We don't see beyond a certain level. We don't see the goodness of the Lord. It is our privilege that we can come into the Lord's house and to be satisfied. And then there's what we call special blessings. And that is verse 5. "By awesome deeds in righteousness, you answer us, O God of our salvation." So you have physical blessings. Thank God for whatever the Lord is, whether it's a job, whether it is a house, whether it is somebody that you can spend the rest of your life with, and so on and so forth. We thank God for what He's provided. We thank God for spiritual blessings, atonement, being able to be to be able to approach the Lord in His presence, in His house. And then, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you answer us. You know, along the way, the Lord will specifically, you know, give us whatever we ask of Him through prayer. Answers to our prayers. Are we appreciative when God answers our prayer? Whether it is for grace, for strength, for mercy, for life. Right? And we want to be able to appreciate these things. Okay? Problem is, we don't see these things well enough, or we forget them all too soon. God can help you through a problem, through a difficult situation. Okay, you pray and then you look to the Lord and God grants His grace, grants His mercy. And after a while, we go about our own ways and we forget. We forget what the Lord has done for us, what He has provided. And even if we don't get what we want, there's so much goodness that the Lord has given to us. And we take those things for granted. Unfortunately, that is the human side of us, where we tend to look for what we want rather than what we have. What we have is the Lord. Right? So next week, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but this is something that we want to think about. The goodness of the Lord. Has not God been good to us? Should we not then be satisfied with that amount of goodness that is given to us? Right? I mean, I look back at my life, I thank God for all the blessings that He's given to us. And I'm happy. I am really very happy. I thank God for my wife. I rejoice in the Lord each day that I have someone special that I can spend each day with and you know, fellowship, to encourage each other, to serve together, right? But look, if we are all looking for something else and then it's not, you know, coming forth to, you know, somehow, these things are not quite there, and we get all kinds of dissatisfaction as a result. Okay, Gabe, what do you think? Just before we end, what do you think?
Yeah, I think godliness with contentment is really great gain.
Yes.
And I think we all maybe go through times where we do feel very content and very satisfied and we take time to reflect and to just look back on what we have and what the Lord has given. But it's very easy to forget, to get caught up with different things, whether it's chasing the next milestone or whether when we are in the company of friends outside and then everyone has a certain mindset, right, towards the world and things outside and it's very easy to get caught up in that and to forget everything that we have.
Yeah.
But
why? Why do we forget when we have friends who tell us otherwise?
I think a very natural inclination
because
is
of
comparison also.
Another F. Alistair, what do you think? Another F.
Oh, no focus, is it?
Huh?
We're saying no focus?
Yeah, but before that. FOMO, yeah, of course. I'm sure you know this word, right? Yeah. No, like, okay, like, just kidding, okay. But you're right. Yeah, that's the problem, you see. When we have friends, we are with friends. They talk about what they have what, and then we suddenly feel, maybe I should have this, maybe I should have that. That's part of the problem. True or not? And of course, you're right. Why don't we stay focused? That's the hard part. The hard part is that we find it difficult to stay focused. And that's the problem. Why don't we focus? Focus on what God has blessed us with. Focus on the goodness that God has given to us. Now, doesn't mean that we cannot have more things. But that's not our focus. It should never be our focus. Remember, we talk about seek first the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things I've come to appreciate is that, yes, generally, you know, there are certain things that you will need. You get married, you need a house, you need to have, you know, certain things in order to run the family and so on and so forth. Sure, that's generally an understanding. But we don't want to say, okay, I need this, I need to chase this, I need to focus on this. It will come. Why don't we focus on the Lord, what the Lord has blessed us with? And then along the way, now let me share with you something that I've come to appreciate so much more, and then we will go into our groups. And that is, sometimes we tend to think that this is what I want. This is what I want. This is the thing. Die, I must have. Right? If not, life will not be this, will not be that, and so on and so forth. Right? I mean, people, wow, go and see Lady Gaga. Wow, must go and see Die, must go and see, and then, what's the point? Now, let me share with you a slightly different perspective. Let's turn to Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, it talks about the goodness of the Lord also. But look at verse 19. It says, oh, how great is your goodness. Great. We all understand that. God's goodness is an abundance. It is great. Yeah? Which you have laid up for those who fear you. First thing. God, right, has reserved for you. This is his great reserve of God, of his goodness. Okay? And the point is that this has been laid up for you, for those who fear you, right? Those who have reverence. Right? We are talking about the fear of the Lord and morning worship and so on and so forth. For those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, those who would rely on him. Trust. Fear. Reserved. God's goodness, he has laid out for you. He has prepared for you. That means it is not something that is shown to you yet. It is there. Why don't we fear him instead? Why don't we learn what it means to trust in him instead? And then, right, in the presence of the sons of men, ultimately, then he would reveal that goodness for you. See, we all tend to think that we all, everything planned out. This is what we want, this is what we want. Let me tell you, when God shows his goodness, it's way beyond what you have planned. It is what he has reserved for you. What do you need to do? Why don't you fear him instead? Why don't you trust in him instead? And then God will reveal for you in more ways than one, far more than what you have planned. See, that's the thing. We all tend to try and figure everything about our lives. We figure it out and we plan and we think, oh, this is what we want, this is what we want. You know what? God has this wonderful goodness, great goodness laid up, prepared, reserved for us. If we can learn to fear him, if we can rely upon him, trust in him, he will reveal it to you in time. We just need to learn to wait. Why don't we wait upon the Lord? And it will be far more than what you would plan. Sometimes we overthink things, we plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. But God has His goodness planned for you. What you need to do? Why don't we fear Him? Why don't we learn to trust in Him? And He will show all that goodness in time. Well, something for you to think about and to discuss as we, you know, go into our groups. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that Your goodness is in abundance and You have specially prepared. We thank You for all the goodness that You have already given to us. And yet, there's so much more that You have planned for us. Help us, Lord, to learn what it means to fear You, to walk in Your ways, to be able to trust in You, and to know that in time, You will bless us with so much more. We pray that You will help us to not be so caught up with the things of the world, what others would say, what our friends would say, but rather to be able to focus on what You have said to us and that You will reveal in time. We pray that You will encourage our hearts and help us, Lord, to really find a kind of focus that would seek You more than anything else in life. We pray that You will bless this offering, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.